Welcome to the Shepherd Series for Men. Every generation has had to wrestle with discovering how they fit into this ever-changing world. That is a natural part of becoming an adult. And I don't think it's an over-exaggeration to say that this generation may be having a harder time than any other of the previous generations. And this seems to be especially true with young men. The Shepherd Series is meant to help all men, but especially young men, to reclaim their identity, who they are, and discover or rediscover that role that they were created to fill. Knowing how you fit into this world is the first step to living the kind of life that all men want, a life of purpose and fulfillment, a good life. So, grab a cup of coffee and your Bible as we grow together in this series, in this study, Shepherd, Reclaiming Man's Role in the World. All right, gentlemen, good morning. Welcome to the monthly men's breakfast. Those of you guys watching online, God bless you as well. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come and we thank you for this time. We ask for your blessing on what we're doing here this morning. We've shared a meal together. We've enjoyed each other's company, shared some life stuff this morning. And now, Lord, we ask that you would minister to our hearts and minds, that you would help us to lay down and to allow your spirit to move through us, lay down the stuff of life that, Lord, will still be there when we're done this morning. But we pray, Lord, for this time that you would speak to us, especially as we talk about the reality of what it means to be a man. I ask, Lord, that you would open our hearts to receive what you want to say to us this morning. We love you. We give this time to you, asking for your work in our hearts, in our minds. And then from that, Lord God, that you would manifest these things in our lives. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this morning we're going to begin a new series that I've entitled Shepherd, Reclaiming Man's Role in the World. This is a series for men, obviously. It was conceived because of something that I have been sensing, and I believe I'm sensing something that's going on in the world right now. And the image that has come into my mind that relates to this is the image of a young man staring into an abyss, wondering who he is and what his place is in this world. I'm really thankful President Trump has been doing some things that are challenging people, especially, I believe, young men, to examine how they view the world and their place in it. Now, I'm speaking to guys who you're going to know everything that I'm going to talk about this morning because this is who we are. But there are young men around us that don't know these things, that don't see the world that way that we do. And so as I'm speaking to you, and I'm praying somebody online sees this and they see it, you know, they are of this group that I'm sensing, and so they can see this. But for us, we need to understand it because we need to be the ones that when they start looking around for the answers, we need to be ready to give them the answers. We need to be ready to show them, to lead them, to guide them, to help them to get out of the darkness that they've been led into and help them to get into the light as God would desire for them. And so Trump has done some things, I think, that will kind of get some of these things moving. He declared and announced the official position of the U.S. government that there are two genders, male and female. And we say, well, yeah, of course. That's not the general consensus in the entire country or world, for that matter. He also banned men from competing in women's sports. He also banned transgender procedures on minors. He's done a bunch of these things that I think are gonna We obviously see there are some groups that are flipping out, losing their minds over these things because they want all this hideous, perverse nonsense to continue. But there are others that are looking at it and they're recognizing that deep within themselves, there's something is not right. And so they're going to start, I believe they're going to start challenging, at least on an internal level, what these things are. We've gone through, and it's gone on for generations now, an attempt to make masculinity to be toxic. And the last probably 10 years, it's been an aggressive attempt to do that. And I'll tell you, one of the things that always just, it weirds me out is if I'm watching television and a commercial comes on and I can't tell the gender of the people in the commercial. It is like the ones that look like they might be men look pretty close to women, and the women look like they're more it's just like, what's what here? Our culture has developed some very confusing worldviews regarding gender and gender roles and sexual identity. As Christians, I'm pretty sure, speaking for all you guys here and probably most of you watch online, you're not confused. You understand what it is that God made us to be, and you understand how we are supposed to function in this world. But we can't say that about all the men in this world, especially the young men today. I can't imagine what it would be like to have grown up in this time frame, to have been exposed to all these confusing and conflicting viewpoints, and depending on where you are, you may have been only exposed to one side of that. And so you come out of that, and they now all of a sudden we're seeing you know with Trump in office, we're seeing this shift away from those viewpoints, and the natural question is going to be for some of those, especially the young men, so who am I? Turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 2. I think it was Chad that guessed correctly. We're in the Old Testament this morning. He probably looked at my notes, so that's okay. Kidding. Was it Larry that guessed it? Oh, you guessed wrong. That's right. All right, 50-50. All right. Yeah. 2. 1 Kings chapter 2. Listen, for several thousand years, this has been simple. It hasn't been a question. There hasn't been a debate. It hasn't been confusing. In Genesis 1, 26 and 27, then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. God made them male and female. What other genders were there? 0. Male and female. 2 and no more. He made it simple. If you were born with male parts, you are male. If you're born with female parts, you are female. And there is no transition that can change that. There's no worldview that can change that. There's no ideology that can change that. Now, gender dysphoria is a term that has relatively recent familiarity. I'm guessing that most of us, if we went back 10 years, if you told us that term, we would have no idea what you're talking about. But it's been around for thousands of years. It is not new. That's why God told Moses to tell the Hebrews that men should not wear women's clothes, because it goes all the way back. And then Paul would famously write about same-sex attraction in Romans 1, 26 and 27. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Now, there is what we see going on right now in our culture, and I am very glad to see it, a strong move away from these perverse ideologies and thought processes, but that move away, and it is going to be, you got to know, those that are into this are going to fight to the death to prevent this move away from this ideology, from these perverse things. But I believe the move away is going to cause some to question reality, to question their own understanding of reality. And they're gonna be looking for answers. They're gonna be looking, where do I find the answer to this most primal, deep in my heart, reality? Who am I? As a man, who am I? What am I? What is my role in the world? And questioning everything, questioning what they've been taught, questioning what they believe, questioning what they think. So I believe I'm sensing an awakening in young men, specifically young men. An awakening of the true nature that God intended them for. That deep down inside, there's a sense that I was made different than this. I was made for more than this. I was made for different than this. And my desire this morning is not to focus on how the world sees these things, but on what God and His Word says in them. For generations, there have been forces at work trying to make, convince, or cajole men into being ashamed of being a man. Especially a conservative, Bible-believing Christian man. We are the most toxic of all of those descriptions of man, according to those on the wrong side of this conversation. Who is a man? What is a man? Well, our culture can't tell us that. They don't know. They have no idea. Even those who are against all of these perverse ideologies, if they don't know what we know based on what the Word of God says, then they don't know either. Because we see that. We see people who are against all that stuff, but then they're for all kinds of other nasty stuff, perverse things on the other side, the other way. So here in 1 Kings chapter 2, we're going to look at three verses, but we're looking at verses of King David, who is close to dying, and he's going to speak to his son, who is going to take over the kingdom, who is going to be the king of Israel after he is gone. So I'm going to read these three verses, and then we will kind of break them up a little bit. So verses 1 through 3. Now the days of David drew near that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn. And so David is saying to Solomon, hey, here's what I need you to do. You're going to take over the kingdom. And he wants him to prosper. I mean, the verse 3 gives a sense, you know, so that you will prosper, so that you'll do well. There are three traits that I want to draw out of this text. The first one, these traits of manhood, of manliness, the first trait is strength. God made men stronger than women. right? Do we acknowledge that? Yeah, I did a quick little search. The world record for the bench press. Anybody have any idea what the world record is for that? How much? Well, that's close. 782. 782 pounds. Some dude bench pressed. That's remarkable. What about the women's record? Any guess? 457. That's still remarkable. I'm guessing none of us could probably even get half of that, would be my guess. Well, maybe half. John could. Generally speaking, men are stronger. Men are faster. Men have faster reflexes. That's not boasting. That's just the reality of how God made us. And I don't believe it was a mistake that he did it that way. He did it on purpose. But that's not the only kind of strength that God gave to men. In verse 2, the second half, he says there, be strong. In other translations, that Hebrew word, it has the idea of, it can be translated as courageous, constant, or conquering. And so it has these other senses that are attached to strength that we very often would contribute most of these very regularly to men as more consistently seen in men. And it's not about physical strength, it's about the inner strength that we have. And again, it's not something that we can boast about, because it is not something we have done. It is something God has done in us. So if I am stronger than a woman, as a man, I'm stronger than a woman, I can't brag about that. I can't boast about that. I have to acknowledge the fact that God made this way, and he did it for a reason. He did it for a purpose. And we have to always keep those in mind. Now, we don't know enough about Solomon to know whether David is telling his son this because he isn't inclined to it, or it's just a fatherly exhortation. God made us different. Men and women are different. And though not all men are the same as other men, right? Just as all women are not the same as all other women. God made us all different, but there's some traits that we can look at, and we can see these traits and say, okay, that is more of a masculine trait, and that is more of a feminine trait, and we'd be stereotyping, and we would recognize, and we should recognize that there are nuances and exceptions to all of these. The fact that there's a woman in the world bench press 457 pounds makes her stronger than probably 90% of all men and all men on earth right now. So, that's saying something. Kelly and I, faced with the same circumstance, we'll see them differently and we'll respond to them differently. The first issue, or the first definition of strength is courage. Years ago, my daughter Aurora, when she was about 5, took to climbing the trees in our backyard. And Kelly's first response is, oh no, don't do that, you're gonna die. And my response is, I wonder how high she can get. We're looking at the same thing and we have a different response to it. My response is based out of courage. I believe, hey, if she wants to climb that tree, let her climb that tree. Let her try. We must always live within the reality of who we are. The second definition of strength is constant. One of the things that makes humans unique in the world is first our range of emotions, and then our ability to choose a response to our emotions. Now, some other creatures have emotions, but they typically have a singular response to that emotion. Humans get to choose. We have the ability to choose our response. Now, both men and women experience emotions, right? I mean, you guys have had like two or three emotions at least, right? We have emotions. We have feelings. We have things. We all have them. Matter of fact, we all have probably just as many as women do. We just handle them differently. We process them differently. Women tend to be driven by their emotions. I'm stereotyping. While most men are not. Women are like sailboats. The emotions push them. And they have to work at staying on track to override their emotions. Men tend to be like lighthouses. We feel the wind, but we don't typically respond to it in the same way that a woman would. A man, in his strength, is aware of his emotions, but he doesn't allow them to drive him as would be more typical in a woman. And if you've got women in your lives, you know that's very often how it works. We respond differently to the same emotions. Back to my example with Aurora in the tree, I want to see how far she can go. But I also know she's 5 years old. And there's a chance that she may not make wise choices. And so I stay close enough to her so that if I need to step in and save her, I can. But I'm going to let her try. Kelly is going to do everything she can to eliminate any possibility of danger. And I just don't see the world that way. Yeah, and here's the reality. She could probably get about 4 feet up. I wasn't concerned about a life-ending injury, even if she did fall out of that tree. But I was right there. Third issue of strength is conquering. God created men in a very particular way. We are more inclined to move toward danger than away from it. In certain circumstances, if you put men and women in the same circumstance, women will tend to flee from danger, and men will be inclined, they won't necessarily do it, but they're more inclined to move toward it. I'm reminded of the assassination attempt on Trump at Butler, Pennsylvania. As you're looking past him into the crowd behind him, and you see how they respond to it, it's interesting to look that there were quite a few guys standing up, looking in the direction of the shooter, while every woman was down, hiding. Which again is not illogical. Bullets are flying, but it was remarkable to me how many guys are standing up and looking in the direction of the shooter. Is that we are wired differently than women are. Now, there's a reality that sometimes we take that to an extreme and we unnecessarily put ourselves in danger. And, that's why men don't live as long as women, because half the time we do stupid stuff that gets us killed or injured. But, the fact of the matter is, part of that is how we were made. Isaiah 1:16 and 17 kind of relates to how men should relate to this idea of courage. Wash yourselves, make yourself clean, put away evil of your doings from before my eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. That God created men to in such a way that we can defend the defenseless. Those that without defense, those without strength, God created us to be those ones that stood in the gap and fight for them. Yeah, I wasn't going to fight with Kelly about Aurora climbing that tree. That was a fight that I would not engage in. But I was going to stand up for Aurora, that she have an opportunity to try. I believe that she should have that opportunity, because if she doesn't, she will never know just what her limits are. Now, that, of course, is a simple and somewhat silly example of what I'm talking about here, and we all have much bigger issues than that. All of us do. I do.
things that really require me to act like a man. To act like a man in my family, to act like a man in my church, to act like a man in my community, that we need to act like men. God made us stronger. He made us stronger than women, not so that we can be dominant over them, because that would be toxic, but so that we could be courageous, that we could be constant, and when necessary, we can walk into the battle and fight. Our text, it's 1 Kings 2, continues. So the first trait of a man is strength. The second trait is manliness. Verse 2 continued and said, "Prove yourself a man." Prove yourself a man. The New American Standard, ESV, and King James say that to show yourself a man. The New Living Translation says, "Be a man." And so it's not enough just to call ourselves a man. We are men. We should call ourselves a man. It's not enough just to show up at a men's breakfast or a men's Bible study or anything like that. We need to be doing the things of manliness. We need to be acting like men. Now, this is where it gets challenging. I think for most of you guys, I think you could probably tell me, you can give me a list of those different characteristics of what it means to act like a man, but I think this is where it gets challenging for our culture. I don't think there are good, well, there are better examples are coming out now, but there have not been a lot of good examples in places of authority, in places of leadership in the world around us that young men can look at and say, that's what a man is. Feminism, which is a couple of generations old now, it goes back further than that, but it really started to take root a couple of generations ago, was originally a movement to give women opportunities that they've been excluded from because of their gender. They just weren't allowed to even try some of these things. And feminism was originally meant to give women opportunities. And I'm all for that. I think that's absolutely right. The women should have the same opportunities as men. I don't think we should be, you know, just filling quotas. Like, you know, we went for a long time trying to get, you know, 50-50. That's a terrible idea. Because what happened with the whole idea of feminism, it was originally a call for equality. Equality of opportunity. But then it shifted and became a call for equity. And the equity means that we both have the same outcome. And the problem with trying to set up a system where everybody ends up with the same outcome, that means you have to throw out things like merit. You have to throw out experience. You have to throw out skill. You have to throw out, or at least overlook in some cases, so that you're meeting particular quotas. That whole thing then devolved into the idea of DEI, you know, diversity, equity, and inclusion. And so instead of treating people based on what they can do, what would be good for, you know, the organization or whatever group you're talking about, we were looking to make sure that everybody was represented from all these different characteristics. Many of them were made up characteristics. Some of them are immutable characteristics. And so that whole DEI thing was doomed right from the very start. Because the moment they started developing, trying to find these quotas for these things, they started developing new minorities. And we see it over and over again, new people that want to be included. You know, this person that thinks, you know, pink unicorns, you know, are their spirit animal. And so, you know, I should have the same outcome as this person who actually is smart and does things. And, you know, it just got absolutely ridiculous. It was doomed to fail right from the very beginning. And that opened the door for the horror of transgenderism. and we've seen over the last few years that flourish and grow and become, honestly, a cancer in our society. This is where men have been trying to find their identity, in a culture that is messed up. It has no idea what a man is. And matter of fact, every day they're coming up a new definition that diminishes the reality of what a man is, and has all these, you know, you go from two different definitions to an infinite number of definitions. How do you know which one you are? How do you find your identity? And once you find your identity, how do you find your purpose? All these conflicting messages from the world are fighting against the instinct that God put in us. God made us. He made us a certain way. He made us a way, and he gave us immutable characteristics that if we live those characteristics out, we become what God made us to be. But if you then challenge all of those characteristics, you start redefining all those characteristics, what you end up with is you end up with confusion, chaos, with young men who are looking at this world and thinking like, okay, do I even have a place in this mess? So what does it look like? What does it look like when you're acting like a man? Again, I think I'm talking to the church here. I'm preaching at the choir, as they say. But what does a man do? What does he look like? And we can't look to the world for the answer to that question, because there is not a clear consensus out in the world, right? Can we say that we can go out in the world and find a consensus of what it means to be a man, to act like a man, to do the things that a man does? The answer is no. And I don't care who you talk to, you're not going to find it. They don't know. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. What does a man do? He acts like Christ. That's what a man does. He acts like Christ. And if you're not sure what that looks like, what should you do? Well, you do what Paul said. You find somebody who does. And then you imitate them until you can do it yourself, until you figure it out, until you understand what it is that God said he made you to be and made you to do. You imitate them until such time as you can do it yourself. Too many men are following the example of the culture, and they're trying to follow the example of the culture, and they go along a little ways, and they realize, okay, that's not taking me anywhere. So then they look at another example, and before long, they're just standing there thinking, like, what is the point of all of this? I tell you, this image of a young man staring into the abyss is an image of hopelessness, despair, a pointlessness. That's not what God created men to be. God created men to be something, something good, something righteous, something holy, something like Christ. Listen, guys, I believe, and you've heard me say it before, I believe every man in the church ought to be actively involved with other men in the church. It's absolutely crucial, vital. It is, without it, we have no hope of knowing what it is to be a man. Even as Christians, we can get so lost in the worldly influences around us that we lose track, we lose sight, we get distracted, we get drawn away from the truth. Every man needs to be in a vital, real relationship with other men in the church. And I mean by that both giving and receiving. You can't just go and be a sponge and, you know, suck the life out of everybody around you. You need to be giving life to men as well, in any way that you possibly can, to help us all, each of us, help us to live like men, to act like men, courageously, constantly, and conquering. We need to find ways to be connected, to connect more and more so that we can, you know, we can do it. You know, again, I'm preaching to the choir here because you guys are doing a lot of this already. It's a sad reality. And I've seen it in all my years of ministry. And even before I became a pastor, I was leading the men's ministry at another church. The longer a man is separated from the other men of the church, the less like Christ he becomes. It's just a law of our faith. The longer you're disconnected from other men in the church who are trying to live like Christ, the less like Christ you'll become. And I've seen it over and over and over again. We need each other. One last thought from our text, and then we'll close. The third trait is obedience. In verse 3, it says, "And keep charge of the Lord your God, keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn." Another way of saying this is get to know what God says, get to know what God wants, and then do what God says and do what God wants. If you want to prosper in this life, if you want to be a real man, you got to know what God wants. And then you got to do what God wants. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 6, 10 through 13, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might," understanding that this strength that we're talking about is primarily a spiritual strength. It's not physical strength. It will not impress me one lick if you can bench press 1,000 pounds and yet spiritually you're a weakling. That would not impress me one bit. "Be strong in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Here's the key. "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand." We've already won the victory. We just had to stand in it. And we do that by putting on the whole armor of God. Most men would say that they understand these things. They would say, "I get what that says. I even know what it means. My question is, but are you doing it? You can say you know what it is. You can say you understand it, but are you doing it? You know, the same men that say that they've got it all, they've got it figured out, and then they're crumbling under the pressures of life. Paul says, when all this is happening, put on the full armor of God, and then having done all that you can, to stand. We should never crumble under the issues of life. Problem with men often, you know, good Christian men, if you disconnect from the body of Christ, if you aren't engaged, if you aren't pressing forward, if you aren't continuing to stand no matter what happens, without realizing it, you're conforming yourself, you're allowing yourself to be conformed to the reality of this world around us, because there's so much pressure from the world, there's so much influence from the world coming at us, that if we don't do something proactively and actively, that we're going to conform to the rest of the world. Romans 12, 2. Do not be conformed to this world. What is he saying? Don't do it. Don't be conformed. That means we have a choice, right? We have a choice to be conformed or not to be conformed to this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't let the world conform you. You make a stand in Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, using the spiritual tools and weapons that God gave you to be transformed. That means you're not finished yet, right? If you have to be transformed, you need more transforming to do. So be transformed into the image of Christ. Just knowing the Bible, what it says, does not mean that you know how to obey what the Bible says. It's a good start, though. It's a good place to start if you know what the Bible says. I'm so thankful for the men in my life. As I walk through this life, I can watch them as they go through things that maybe I haven't gone through yet. I can see them. I can learn from them. I've also learned that as God has allowed me to minister into the lives of others, that I grow in my own faith. As I help you grow in your faith, God's helping me to grow in my faith. I can watch men. I should watch men. Men who are doing their best to act like Jesus, to act like a man. Gentlemen, this world is confused about what it means to be a man. They associate masculinity with toxicity. Listen, if you act like Jesus, who is the perfect masculine man, and you do it in the strength that God gave you in the company of other men through the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit, there'll be nothing toxic about your masculinity. You'll be masculine, but there'll be nothing toxic about it. That doesn't mean the world's going to respond that way, right? Because the world calls good bad. So we can be what God made us to be, and the world may not respond to it. That's not my problem. That's not my concern. I don't worry about that. I'm going to let them say whatever they want, but I'm going to be like Christ the best I'm able. Amen? And when we do that, what they're going to see is Jesus in us, glorifying God, blessing others, and growing faith. And guys, that's exactly what those men in the world need to see. They may not see an example anywhere else, but they need to see it in us. And so while this message, the motivation behind this message is what I see going on in the world around us, this message is to you. Act like men, because they need to see it. Amen? Heavenly Father, I pray for each of these men that you would help us to do that very thing, to act like men. Not men like the world defines a man, if they even can, but to act like a man, to act like Christ. And that if we are uncertain or unclear, that we would not rest until we find an example that we can imitate until such time as that we do. That we would not rest until we've scoured the pages of this book that tell us so clearly what it is that you mean for us, that you mean us to be and to do. Lord, I'm so thankful, Lord God, that you've made it clear to me in my own heart what I am. I am a man. And there is no doubt in my heart that you've called me to something great. You've called me to be strong. You've called me to be courageous. You've called me to be constant. And you've called me, Lord, in those times when I need to stand up and fight the battles of those who need to be defended. I thank you, Lord God, that you've given me examples in my life that to help me to do that very thing. And I pray those things for all these men present and all those that are watching online right now. I pray for an anointing over us, Lord God, that we would have the courage, even as David was telling his son Solomon, have the courage to be strong and to act like men, and to do that in radical obedience to you. We thank you, Lord, for your work, and I pray for your blessing on these men. And I pray, Lord, help us to be examples that other men can follow. We love you, Lord. We praise you, and we lift this up to you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you guys. Thank you for joining us as we grow together through the series, Shepherd, Reclaiming Man's Role in the World. It's our hope that these messages will help you to grow in your faith. If you have questions or there's anything that we can help you with on that process, please don't hesitate to connect with us. Go to calvaryfv.com/connect to find all of the ways that you can connect with us. As Christians, we are all connected in Christ. And one of the ways that we stay connected or that we help each other is in prayer. So please let us know how we can be praying for you. Send us an email to prayer@calvaryfv.com or text the word pray to 951 419 5396. If this teaching has been useful to you, please share it with someone, like it, subscribe, all those things that we do to connect. Also, please pray that God would use these messages to help others grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ. You can also partner with us financially by going to calvaryfv.com/give or text the word give to 951-419-5396. Until next time, go be radical with Jesus.